हरिः ॐ सहनं भवतु सहनं भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 35. The sound of Krishna's flute is the transcendental blissful sound, hence the archetype of all Veda is present in it. The Gayatri Mantra is Vedic rhythm. It contains a brief meditation and prayer. Kama Gayatri is the highest of all the Gayatris, because the meditation and prayer contained in it are full of the perfect transcendental sportive activities, which are not to be found in any other Gayatri. In this Gayatri, the realization of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Gopijana Vallabha, after perfect meditation and the prayer for the attainment of the transcendental God of love are indicated. In the spiritual world, there is no better mode of endeavor for securing the super excellent rasa bedewed love. Whoever has received the same Gayatri in reality has attained his spiritual rebirth. The status of a twice born is that is obtained in accordance with one's worldly nature and lineage by the fettered souls in this mundane world is far inferior to that of the twice-born who obtains admission into the transcendental world. Because the initiation or acquisition of transcendental birth as a result of spiritual initiation is the highest of glories inasmuch as the jiva is thereby enabled to attain to the transcendental realm. Brahma Samhita 5.27 purport. So you have the twice born in the material, which is the Brahma Gayatri, but then only one's receiving Kama Gayatri, so that means in the Pancharatric sense, then that's a transcendental connection. Because the Vedic is just, you know, the best of the, within the material world, the mode of goodness. Right? So that's why the Vedic, not connected to Krishna, is pious, but it's not enough. Right? So the Pancharatra being transcendental, then that connection, then that actually situates one in connection with the spiritual world. Right? So of Gayatris, of the Kama Gayatris, the highest of all Gayatris. Like that. Srila Prabhupada explains how the progression of the three principal deities is also represented in the Kama Gayatri. This mantra is like a Vedic hymn, but it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. There's no difference between the Kama Gayatri and Krishna. Both are composed of 24 and a half transcendental letters. The mantra depicted in letters is also Krishna, and the mantra rises just like the moon. Due to this, there's a perverted reflection of desire in human society and among all kinds of living entities. Right? So Kama Gayatri, so it's Krishna's desire to enjoy pastimes with his devotees and interact. So because of that, that reflection, that creates the desire in the living entities in the material world to try to enjoy here. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's that principle. Yeah. Like that. In the mantra, Krishna is called Kamadev or Madan Mohan, the deity who establishes our relationship with Krishna. Govinda or Pushpabana, who carries an arrow made of flowers, is the personality of Godhead, who accepts our devotional service. Ananga, or Gopijana Vallabha, satisfies all the gopis and is the ultimate goal of life. This Kama Gayatri simply does not belong to this material world. When one is advanced in spiritual understanding, he can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his spiritually purified senses and fulfill the desires of the Lord. C.C. Madhya Lila 8.138.39 purport. Okay, so this is the... So what we're talking about here with Brahma then is about receiving... this topmost mantra, And so it's with that mantra that he does this whole creation and all that. Mm. So that means everything that's been created can be understood in its connection with the mantra, how of establishing relationship, accepting the worship and the goal. And so all those aspects can be appreciated. Mm. It's just a matter of what level it's functioning. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Mm. So that ends part one. Text 28. So this finishes the whole front section.
Yes.
Okay. Text 28. Brahma praises the Lord. Becoming enlightened by this Gayatri, Brahma became thoroughly knowledgeable of the highest truth. He satisfied Keshava by the following verses of praise, following the statements of the Veda. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati comments. Brahma thought thus within himself. By the collection of Kama Gayatri, recollection of Kama Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. Though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him, Brahma, by dint of his searching self-consciousness, became well acquainted with the ocean of truth. All the truths of the Vedas were revealed to him, and with the help of those essences of the Vedas, he offered this hymn to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Sriman Mahaprabhu has taught this hymn to his favorite disciples, inasmuch as it fully contains all the transcendental truths regarding the Vaishnava philosophy. Readers are requested to study and try to enter into the spirit of this hymn with great care and attention as a regular daily function. Brahma Samhita 5:28 per part. Right, so by the recollection of this, he understood how he's a maidservant of Krishna. Right, so that means you have the element of that surrender to the Lord in pure devotion. Now the details of it says that was not revealed. So that means he's not understanding, you know, his specific position, you know, the specific relationship in the spiritual world.
Yes. That's why he's a madhyamadhikar.
Means that this, that would establish one as a madhyam. Like that. So, yeah. So now, prayers. Text 29 to 56. Govinda Adi Purusham, prayers. Beginning with verse 29, Brahmaji praises the primeval personality, Sri Govinda, with 31 verses describing the glories of his name, form, qualities, pastimes, opulence, sweetness, transcendental abode, and so on. Text 29 to 31. Complete perfection, the sweetness of Krishna. These verses represent a confidential revelation of the Paramadham, Gokula, as distinguished from Goloka. Just as Sri Brahma Samhita began with a description of the topmost seat of intimate pastimes, Yogapit, this section again returns to that superior place. In these verses we find no trace of Krishna as God. Instead, Brahma expresses his profound mood of longing for Swayam Krishna, the cowherd boy of Braja, by praising his four unique qualities. 1. Lila Madhurya, unique sweet pastimes. 2. Prema Madhurya, uniquely sweet devotees. 3. Venu Madhurya, uniquely sweet all attractive flute. And 4. Rupa Madhurya, unique sweet beauty. Okay, so here when it's using the term Goloka, when you're saying Gokula and Goloka, that would mean Gokula meaning Vrindavan of Braj, and Goloka means Mathura Dwarka. Mm-hmm. Right, so that means it has that element of majesty.
Mm-hmm. Right. Many times it's defined different in other contexts.
Means other contexts, you might take Goloka means Goloka technically means the whole planet. Uh-huh. But when you look at it, then Goloka will be the element of majesty and Gokula will be Braj. Right? But you'll look at the whole, the aspect of Goloka that makes it unique is that Krishna is in all these various pastimes there. But other planets, there's only, you know, one deity in one past, and that unfolding of those pastimes. But here you have all these variety of pastimes with this one person. So that's in that way, Goloka means all the realms, right?
Yes.
Text 29, Krishna's abode in Sosis. Chintamani prakara satma shukalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu shudhavyera vipalayantam. Lakshmi sahasra sata sambrama sevimanam govindam adipurusham tamahangvajani. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who affectionately tends the cows and stables, whose walls are made of chintamani. Surrounded by desire trees, he is eagerly served by countless gopis, Lakshmi Sahasrasata. As mentioned in verse 3, there are two means of realizing the unmanifest pastimes of Krishna, each appropriate to the sadhaka in different stages, mantramayi upasana and swarasiki upasana. According to Jiva Goswami, these yield realization corresponding to two types of pastimes. Mantaropashana, jnana, mayi, lila. By meditating on certain mantras, one can attain realization of a single pastime in a specific place. Svarasiki, lila. The more spontaneous contemplation of all the pastimes collectively, revealing a variety of lilas according to various places. The Acharyas explain that this verse is an example of the superior meditation on Swarasiki lilas that occur in Yoga Pit. Because you have the elements of the cows, you have the gopis, you have the forest of Vrindavan, so then it's not just focused on one pastime. Because this mantra upasana jnana mayi lila, we see is that every Vedic mantra has a rishi that by meditating on that specific mantra or that specific group of mantras, then they've attained realization. So it's a fairly standard aspect. But here then it's a matter of the pastimes connected with the particular flavor. Will give and so perfection. Yes?
So this doesn't personalize the rishi who attained perfection in this specific mantra.
Does it put who?
Brahma, Lord Brahma. You just mentioned about the rishis.
You could say is that if you're taking the Kama Gayatri as the mantra, then you could say like that. But these are his prayers from his realization. In other words, yeah. So you can see is he's meditating on a wide variety. In Goloka, many different areas such as the Rasa arena can be realized by using a particular mantra, such as the Brihadhyana mantra found in Kramadipika, by which one attains realization of a particular pastime in that particular place. However, Brahma offers his first verse of praise to Govinda by describing many pastimes suitable for the place called Gokula, the chief of all the abodes, since it is situated in the center of Goloka. With great absorption with the deepest love, Govinda protects the cows by tending them and leading them to the forest or cow pens. Sometimes in private, however, there are most extraordinary events, the countless gopis serving Govinda with the greatest love. Footnote 17. Srila Prabhupada uses the present Brahma Samhita verse to demonstrate Krishna's eternal attachment to his loving consorts. In spite of the detachment he occasionally exhibits, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna quits his Dwarka palaces and retires to the bank of the Saraswati. Quote, "The Lord was thus engaged in household life for many, many years, but at last his detachment from ephemeral sex life was fully manifested." Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.22, Srila Prabhupada explains, "Even though the Lord is never attached to any kind of material sex life, as a universal teacher, he remained a householder for many, many years, just to teach others how one should live in household life. The Lord's detachment from household life does not indicate detachment from his eternal associates, the transcendental cowherd damsels. But the Lord desired to end his so-called attachment to the three modes of material nature. He can never be detached from the service of his transcendental associates like Rukmini and other goddesses of fortune, as described in the Brahma Samhita, Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahma Sevyamanam. So it's that. So that affection of the devotees, then Krishna will never be detached from that, but he's showing the example of how one leaves these things. So the medium is what is being left. But at the same time, as he'll always be eternally performing the pastimes, because we're looking at the pastimes in Gokula as what's happening in a linear fashion, right, that we can relate to. Like there's a Krishna appears and then he grows up and he goes to Dwarka and like this and then he disappears, like this. That kind of element goes through. So then you teach all these things, just like after Vrindavan, when he went to Mathura, then he went to the Gurukul and took initiation and then served the spiritual master, studied under him, like that. Then he got married. Then he does all these various aspects. So he's showing that this is something that needs to be done, right? Because the difficulty is, as we see from this verse, or these group of verses, is that the attraction that one has in the material world to sense gratification, that's actually coming from that potency of Madan Mohan. He's the attractive principle. But here that's been manifest through Kamadev, through Cupid. So then the difficulty comes, it comes up in this particular form. So then one gets distracted by the medium through which that form is expressed, right? The material phenomena. So then that will get in the way of one's attraction to the Lord. At some point, if that attraction increases, the form of the other loses its interest. Right, so it's just a natural form. So Krishna is showing that aspect, because as we know, he's not engaged in any kind of material sex life. But in here, he's showing the principle of that one has to give up the attraction to the form here to be attracted to cultivate very deeply the attraction to Krishna in the form of his pastimes there. So, yeah. But he never gives up the association.
Alvacharya says that he's served by gopis.
Yes.
But in the verse it says Lakshmi Sahasrasa.
No. There's the same principle. Opulence.
It's just means to include everybody?
Yeah. No, it's the same principle, just like Goloka will include everything within the planet, but at the same time it may be specific. So Lakshmi here then is a generic element of means the goddess of fortune. So then that means his fortune is opulence, and opulence is his energy. That makes sense. So all the internal potency is Lakshmi. That's from the formal sense of opulence. But then in specifics of personality and interaction, then you have Radharani and the gopis in Vrindavan, and then the queens at Dwarka, and then Lakshmi and Vaikuntha. So it's the same principle. That's why you see in the one explanation he switches from the mundane into the transcendental, and then from the gopis and then the queens of Dwarka, and then all, because you're dealing with the same principle of the Lord and his eternal associates. It's just a matter of the flavor in which the pastime is manifest. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Krishna manifests Ram as the pillar of Dharma, as some sort of example, dharmic example. It seems like Krishna Lila has a free movement, whereas he shows that he's above the rules, above the law.
He doesn't have to do that, because that's not the point of the brunch pastimes, because it's not about rules or not following rules. It's about just the free flow of rasa.
Right.
So that wouldn't be, we can use that as an example, but it would not be the point of the pastimes. The pastimes aren't to show that, because then who's above the law? God's about the love, so it's not about Krishna's God.
Mm-hmm. But he does so many things that are really not exemplary, and it's something that can't be followed in the mundane sphere.
That's why we have the first 9 cantos. So that when we get there, we can just appreciate rasa for rasa's sake. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because the point is all these other elements of his transcendental position and everything, they've already been explained in the creation. When we're talking about Mahavishnu, how he's glancing at Ramadevi, but Ramadevi is transforming, so he's not dealing with the external potency. We've already established that there. Mm-hmm. You know, so here it's just the free flow of the... You're talking about... See, it's when there's possession, then the certain aspects of the rasa... When you the sense in Dwarka, or the sense in Dwarka, which would be this the source of the of Vaikuntha. So that would include Ramachandra's pastimes. So then, is the element of rules and opulence. So it's a necessary medium, because that's how the devotees want to relate to the Lord. Because when you have rules, it makes it easy. You know what to do. And then within that structured framework, then it's a matter of expressing the attraction, right? The love, the affection. Braj, then, the element is that it doesn't have the rules as the structure for expressing the love. It's not that there's not forms there, because the love has its natural forms, but it's not based on, there's no dependence upon the structure of rules to express it. So now, in that, you're dealing in rasa at its most, you know, intense level. So you're dealing with the Lord and his energies. So there's no question that they're not eternally connected. But when you have the element of possession, then you may pay attention or not. But if there's no possession, then you tend to pay more attention. Right? So then the focus is there, because you don't know. It's just like, let's say the husband comes home, the wife is there, you know, he's busying himself with, you know, whatever he's doing, and she's talking to friends on the phone. Why is that happening? He just came to the house and she's at the house. Why would this be going on? It's based on what we just said.
Sense of possession.
So you know that I can talk on the phone now to my friends and my husband will still be there after I finish talking. You know, and he's thinking, well, I got to get this done and that done, and then I'll interact with my wife. Right? So it creates, there, you lose the sense of urgency. Well, when you're dealing with parakeya, where there is no sense of possession as such, means on the legal platform, what you were bringing up, then it's every moment has to count, because you don't know when someone will come along. Right? It's not that we're at Radhakund and so now it's cool, we're safe. Jatila, Kotila, they walk in whenever they want. You know, so it kind of puts a bit of a damper on the pastimes. You know, so these whole things is that you don't have that sense of possession. Therefore, every moment has to, so it increases the intensity. That's the whole point of it. But who you're dealing with is Krishna and his internal potency. So there's no question that they're not eternally connected. So it's a matter. It's not a matter of showing that he doesn't have to follow the rules. That he can do is, you know, Narayan Rishi, or as Mishringadev, you know, you know, he's fitting into the thing, but he's completely outside the rules. You know, so that he does in all these other things. Here it's just a matter of the intensity of rasa, the fullness of the rasa. So it's not a, it's not, that's not the whole point. Because showing you don't have to follow the rules means then that's why. Why would he not have to follow the rules? He can only do that because he's God. So it's not about being God. So Vraja is not about the God element. God is, Vraja is about the intensity of the rasas. Is that
right?
Does that make sense? So, in other words, the point that you're making is true, but we would use other examples. We wouldn't use that as an example.
Right, yeah. It's spontaneous. It's more spontaneous. It's more...
But that spontaneous means it's based on the flow of the love as opposed to the love needs the medium of rules. But they do everything according to the structure of Braj. Otherwise, how do we recognize it as Braj? Krishna, it means Astakalya Lila means... The day is divided into eight groups of 3 hours each, and specific pastimes happen in those times. You know, Krishna gets up, goes to the cowherd pen, you know, takes care of the cows, comes back, has his bath, has his breakfast, like that, goes out to the cowherd, you know, fields, like that, takes care of them, comes back in the evening, spends time with Nanda Baba and everybody. You know, so it has its structure. But that structure is there to allow for the free flow. So the rules become secondary. They're not, it means they're always secondary, but they're not essential for the they're not essential for the expression of the affection. Does that make sense? So you would just use a different context to view it. Not that what you're saying is true, but you wouldn't apply that there. You know, just like, let's say, the man is discussing, you know, something with friends, he's giving a seminar, and you know, something comes up about some practical application, you know, with his family and stuff like that. He's going to use an example that's more public or more common. You know, husband arrived, you know, in the kitchen talking, or, you know, yeah, I went there, I went to get, you know, a drink, my wife was there, and she said this, I said that, right? He's not going to talk about what they do in the bedroom. It's just not going to, it's not going to happen. That has a different flavor, a different taste. Does that work? Because Krishna's not even thinking that he's God at all. Dwarka comes up now and again. You know, it's like he goes with Satyabhama, you know, to the heavenly planets, and Indra gets all the jiggity about, you know, the Parijata tree. So then, you know, okay, well then we'll show who's boss, right? You got Indra and all the demigods, you know, with their weapons and that, and Krishna's on Garuda with his wife. And he defeats them all. You know, so that's where he shows who's boss. But in Vrindavan, then Radharani's boss, Yogamaya's boss, Mother Jashoda's boss, the cowherd boys are boss. You know what I'm saying? It's a very different flavor.
Right.
That's why they make the distinction between Gokul and Golok. But it's still the same person. But because of the nature of the rasa, you make this distinction. Is
it? I mean, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna isn't at one place to Arjuna. If I didn't show some sort of an example, fighting war, then
yeah.
Everything would go
unravel. So that's why we have to be unattached to the work here and everything here to really appreciate the Vrindavan pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there it's the example's not that of the work. The example is that of the affection. Right? Because that kind of affection being shown here can be considered a fault. Right? Because here the element of the duties and everything is important because you're trying to establish the mode of goodness. But there they don't have to do that. They're beyond, so they don't have to. But the pastime itself is not to express that. You know what I'm saying? The situation is, but it's not to express that. But like you were saying, Ramachandra is to express that. He's tasting that, you know, following the rules and doing everything right. You know, one word, one wife, one weapon, like that. You know, so that's the taste that's there. Well, in Vrindavan, it's not about following or not following the rules. It's just the full expression of affection. So that's why that kind of thing would be considered the lowest here, but the highest there.
Intimacy without the honor.
Yes. But it has structure. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with the masculine and feminine principles, so there's naturally structure. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, why does Krishna get in trouble? So if he doesn't follow the rules, he gets in trouble.
Okay.
Okay. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also comments on the rest of the verse. By the word Chintamani is meant transcendental gem. Just as Maya builds this mundane universe with five material elements, so the spiritual chit potency has built the spiritual world of transcendental gems. The Chintamani which serves as material in the building of the abode of the Supreme Lord of Goloka is far rarer and more agreeable entity than the philosopher's stone. 18. Regarding the notion of Chintamani Dham, Srila Prabhupada adds, in the Brahma Samhita is stated that the ground on the Vaikuntha planets is made of touchstone. Thus, there is no need to sweep the stone in Vaikuntha, for there is hardly any dust on it. But still, in order to satisfy the Lord, the ladies there always engage in dusting the marble walls. Why? The reason is that they are eager to achieve the grace of the Lord by doing so. Just continue.
No.
Okay. The purpose tree yields only fruits of piety, wealth, fulfillment of desire, and liberation. But the purpose trees in the abode of Krishna bestow innumerable fruits in the shape of checkered divine love. Kamadhenus, cows yielding fulfillment of desire, give milk when they are milked. But the Kamadhenus of Goloka pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of the fountain of love, showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. So you see the element of here and there, it's that and beyond. It's a matter of, it means it's not that they don't get fruits from the trees or milk from the cows, but it's basically that, it's that because of the element of love of Krishna, there's no interest in anything beyond that. So the meaning of dealing with the Kamadhenu is just milk. Or the kalpa vriksha is only fruit or flowers. Right? It's not a matter of opulences or anything else like that. So that's the difference. So this was the fun and the pastime with the two involved. No, this was about a discussion between Narad Muni. Oh, it's Swoop Damodar. Yeah. So I think Garadhar Pandit and... No, not Garadhar. Srivas Pandit and Swoop Damodar. So one's talking about the glories of Vaikuntha, just, you know, it's so great and opulent, and Vrindavan is just some sticks and some, you know, this and, you know, and some dust and like that. But then it was pointed out, no, but those sticks and dust is the cause of everything in Vaikuntha. So it's like this. having a little bit of a battle. So the point is it's just fulfilling all the desires of the devotees and love of God. That's what the kamadhenus and the kalpavrikshas are given. So that's what's special there.
We take that Lord Brahma is a devotee here, according to those prayers.
We shouldn't?
No, I say we take it.
Okay.
I see.
Okay.
So his position is in what type of relationship? Is it Dasya? Because he prays about such an intimate pastime.
Brahma thought thus within himself, by the recollection of Kama Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna, though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him. Brahma, by dint of his searching self-consciousness, became well acquainted with the ocean of truth.
In another place, Krishna comes and shakes his hand.
Why, you shouldn't shake a hand? See, there's a reason that when we went by this, I referred to the element of the maidservants as the aspect of that full surrender. Right, because there's a mood that makes the residents of Braja, there's a mood that makes the gopis. What do you do when Krishna's there, but basically it means it's Krishna, but you have the aspect of who you're technically interacting with is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And Brahma, even he is a maidservant, which generally would have a feminine body of a very young, youthful nature. But he's an older guy with four heads. How are they going to interact? And so now if you're going to say, because they shook hands, that makes this rasa and that rasa, that's exactly why we don't really discuss these things until the last 3 years. Does that make sense? So another 5 years, and then you won't bring that question up. That's why it's like, say, Krishna's prabhas there, and it's like, I think, Markane Bhagavat Dharma, that we're there and we're frolicking in the fields and playing in the fields of Braj. And so when will that happen again? And so people say, oh, they're frolicking and playing in the fields with the cows and that, so that means he's a cowherd boy. That's why we don't get into those kind of things. Because the point is Lord Chaitanya is in one form, and so these other devotees, all the gopis are in male forms. You know what I'm saying? So if they're going to act in another way, other than that, then that's where you get your Gauranga Nagaris. Or they have masculine forms, or the Shaki Bakis. They have masculine forms, or they wear saris and put the little nose pearls and do all that kind of stuff, you know. But they got beards, you know. It's really funny. It's really funny, you know.
Yeah.
So, you understand? So the point is these things are moods. The mood is first, then the external manifests. So when you're in that situation, Gadadhar is Radharani. How is Lord Chaitanya dealing? You know, according to the formula of the situation you're in. Right? So one has to catch that. Otherwise one misses a great amount. Is that something? Yeah. Okay. So it says pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of fountain of love, of showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. It may come in the form of milk, and they may be offering milk to Krishna, or drinking the milk, making preparations, offering to Krishna, eating those. But it's the love of God, that overwhelming love for Krishna, that is getting away, getting rid of the hunger and thirst. Not because they're eating something. That's here. Here it's a pushing. There's no pushings. Right? Here you're forced. You get hungry. There the interest is in Krishna. So, you know, whenever it happens in the pastime, they can eat. That's why Mata Mangal can sit there and eat unlimitedly if he wants. You know, so for the pastime, that's fun because, you know, who he is. Others don't do that. You know, they just take a little bit, you know. So it matches the flavor. So that's how all the forms and social customs come into being. It's because those who have that particular mood, they act in a particular way. We, because we're external, we just look at how to act. We don't have the mood. So therefore we copy that mood, or not copy, we follow in the footsteps of that mood by following those activities, but the ones recommended. We follow what's recommended, that's following the footsteps. If we don't, that's called imitation. Right? So that's why what the acharyas recommend is what we follow. Right? And that's why we should be very careful about having one's own idea and not caring about that, because that's all, you know, from India. Otherwise, then God only knows where we'll end up.
He knows. He knows.
Yeah. Because human beings generally don't wear pants, so what animal you take birth as because you wear pants, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's, you know, some good wide range.
Penguins wear tuxedos.
Yeah. It's there.
Classy.
Yeah. That was looking good.
Yes. In response to their questions on page 48, there's one statement of Lord Brahma. He says, "My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth, whatever, in the forest of Gokul, and have my head bathed in the dust falling from the feet of the children."
Yeah. It is because he is a devotee, he feels himself servant of all the other devotees. So that's why, out of humility, he'll say like that, but the particular relation. That's why the first thing is to catch the mood of the place. Means there's, first of all, there's the mood of Vaishnava, which simply means I'm servant of Krishna. Then, according to either sweetness or majesty, then there'll be these kind of aspects. So then, majesty, then there's a little bit of difference, Mathura, Dwarka, Ayodhya, Vaikuntha, like this kind of aspects. Then in sweetness, then you have specifically Braj. Then within Braj, then, so there everyone has the mood of pure, unalloyed devotion. Then within that, there's the specifics of the five rasas. But that's the second stage. The first stage is having the mood of the place. Yes.
I think Mahaprabhu from Shikshastakam, he's mentioned in an Ainanda Dhanuja Kinkaram, and then later he says, you know, the Radharani, he's showing that. So it's from.
Yeah, because there's this element of a servant, means that there's. That, you know, birth after birth, we just want to be serving Krishna. I don't want to be connected with anything here. I just want to be connected with Krishna. And that, and then it goes deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so that's the natural. But you have to start from there, because if one's interested in here, you can't be interested in there. Right? So therefore the etiquette, these kind of elements, that not having material desire, then being absorbed in Krishna, like that. So it's natural. So these are the stages. We look at that aspect, not at the external. Does that make sense? Especially if you want to, it means, in other words, if the intent is to point out that it's not the mood of the gopis, but then what is the feminine nature is what? It's always contrary. So if you say black, they will say white. You know, they won't be direct. So therefore, you understand? So to point out, oh, this is not a direct interaction, you know, on a conjugal level. That means the conjugal level is not understood at all. Because conjugal level doesn't mean shaking hands or not shaking hands. Yeah. So. Okay. That's the point where the intellectual runs dry and cannot go beyond that point. Does that make sense? So that's why study, oh, that's this and that's that. These things are basically useless for understanding. That's why it's all this is to point out that one should be situated in pure devotional service. Then the application of one's intelligence and analyzation have been benefited. But just on its own, just analyzing the externals will not identify what's what. Some people like to do it, of course, but it's not going to get anywhere.
Summarize this statement that Prabhupada is a cowherd boy. Came only from this little.
Yeah, that's right.
I've always heard that from different places. I didn't ever knew it was coming.
Yeah, no, it's coming from.
From where?
That Bhagavad Martin.
You mean the prayers?
Yeah, that song. The song, yeah.
Actually, there's other places.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is,
a lot of interesting things.
Yes, but you also have to know how to look at them.
I'm sorry?
Says you have to know how to look at them. It's because he was saying the friend. But what is a maid servant called? What's the Sanskrit term, Rupa Goswami, word uses? Nitya Shaki, which means eternal friend. It defines them different from Shakis, which are friends but also rivals. But Nitya Shakis means they're only just friends. So they're in a mood of service to Radharani. They don't have a. They don't. There's not friendship with them. But because Radharani's in that mood, therefore they have. You understand? So in other words, if we don't want things to heat up really fast, leave these things for another few years. You know what I'm saying? Because the main problem is those without an understanding of what they're dealing with work on the semantics of words, how they would interpret them. But dealing with the tradition and the angle of vision that the acharyas present things, they won't catch it. And especially when you're talking about conjugal rasa, it's always going to be discussed in an elusive way because it's the nature of the rasa. Does that make sense?
I'm not trying to establish anything.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, you know, the way Prabhupada acted and spoke in the early days.
Yes, but the point is it's also depends on what one knows about it, how one would interpret it.
I'm simple. I just take it at face.
Yes, but the point is then leave it at that.
Right.
Leave it at that. Because when you're dealing on that level, there is no such thing as just face. But the point is that he's a resident of Braja, that's been established. That he's an eternal servant of the Lord, that's been established. And that's all the more that's necessary. Because as we said, it's the mood of Braja that we're trying to catch. Then what rasa is there, that's a detail.
How does the mood of full splendor is not the same for everyone? How does it manifest?
What do you mean it's not the same for everyone? So in other words, I can see us we're going to very, very dangerous. In other words, if you want to wade into the element of rasa when we're discussing stuff like, we can't even figure out the difference between, you know, what makes Mahavishnu Mahavishnu. What's the difference between a Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and a Dvaita? Why are they the three of the five tattvas? Pancha tattva means that is the tattvas. There aren't tattvas beyond that. What is the difference between these three in the moods? So we're discussing about that because the element of Linga, because he is the one who has the aspect of going to deal with the external energy. But still he's only going to deal with it through his internal energy. Nityananda, he just deals with the spiritual world. So he's expanded as Advaita to do that. And so we're getting confused here between Advaitacharya then as he expands as the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, how that enters into each universe, and then how there's a particular Devata that takes care. And then we're going to discuss the finities of Brajarasa, and we're going to do it with our intelligence, because we've read a few books and know a few words. You understand? That's where we cross that line, and it goes nuclear. And you don't want it to go nuclear. Does that make sense? That's why we have nine cantos to go through before we get to these pastimes. Because we're talking about going into and really appreciating what's happening there. It means anything one appreciates is perfect. But there's so much more that can be gained. That's why it's recommended to go through. But Prabhupada says, sugar is sweet no matter where you taste. So you can start anywhere and you'll get benefit. But that's why we're going up. Because the point is, the acharyas, here we see Prabhupada did it himself. He's talking about gopis, and then he's talking about queens of Dwarka, and he's talking about Lakshmis and the gopi. It means to him is you're talking about the same people, but just different pastimes, a different flavor. But we make this so much distinction. That's how the question came up. Well, how is it we're using Lakshmi and gopi as synonymous? Because we're used to there's Krishna and there's Dwarka Krishna and Vaikuntha Krishna and then like this and that. It's the same person, just it depends on the devotees that are interacting with them. Because we'll see with Gopu Kumar that he's in Vaikuntha, and so Vaikuntha Pati is there, but because Gopu Kumar deals with him as Krishna in Vrindavan, then when everybody else is gone, he reciprocates with him as Krishna in Vrindavan, because he is Krishna in Vrindavan. It's the same Krishna, just in Vaikuntha, you don't manifest that. That's why Krishna in Vaikuntha is always thinking of Krishna in Vrindavan. Because of the rasa and the flavors that go on there. Krishna Dwarka is thinking of that. So all the expansions of Krishna are all thinking about the wonderfulness and sweetness of Krishna's pastimes there. You know, it's just like the man is at work. Okay? But in his mind, what does he think about?
Home,
his family. You know, why he's doing. So that's the whole thing. So when Krishna's at the office in Vaikuntha, then he's going to think of home, which is Vrindavan. So we make these distinctions because of our, you know, time and space. It's our conditioning. So we have to be very careful. They're all right when we're dabbling in tattva, but when we get into rasa, then it starts to get. It's not advised. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Text 30. Krishna's incomparable beauty. Venum konantam aravinda dalayataksham barhavatam samasitam buddhasundaram gam kandarpa koti kamaniya viseshashobam govinda mari purusham tamahang vajami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who plays a flute, whose eyes are like lotus petals, who wears a peacock feather on his head, whose bodily hue is attractive like a dark cloud, and whose beauty is more spectacular than that of millions of cupids. Srila Prabhupada explains the superlative nature of this most intimate darshan. Although the Lord is one in his various forms, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Still, his form as a young enjoyer of the gopis and the companion of the cowherd boys, Kishori Murti, is the most perfect form. Because, in other words, all of them are perfect because of the rasa, but the elements that come out in this Kishore form, the sweetness and everything, you just don't find in any of the other forms. Mm-hmm. Right? So that makes it superior. It has things that the others don't have. The karmis simply want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their order supplier. The jnanis want to see him to become one with him. And the yogis want to see him partially represented within their heart as Paramatma. But the bhaktas or the devotees want to see him in his complete perfection. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-44 purport. Jiva Goswami describes how this pastime is the object of mantra mayi upasana. Brahma has described this svarasiki pastime, such as dancing for walking and songs for speaking. In the extraordinary abode called Gokula, within Goloka, which is filled with houses and walls made of touchstone. Footnote 19. Later on in verse 56, there are descriptions such as Kataganam Natyam Gamanam Epi. In that abode, every word is a song, every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. In accordance with these descriptions, the previous verses also describe the abode of desire-fulfilling gems as the extraordinary setting of Swarasiki Lila in Goloka. Now these two verses, 30 and 31, beginning with the words Venum Kvanantam, describe the second place of pastimes, wherein the mantra Upasana Mayi Lila, the subject of this detailed meditation, takes place. The mantra Upasana Mayi Lila is situated in one place, without the singing, dancing, and so on included in Swarasiki Lila. And so you have others who are talking about Vrindavan, but they're not actually talking about the Swarasiki. They'll be talking about, you know, the more specific, some aspect and all that. So that's why those from the Vaikuntha can appreciate Vrindavan. So that, but they'll be talking about one specific aspect or that perfection that's gained in that one thing. But here he's talking about them all happening at once. Right? So it's about the place, the mood, the everything that's happening. While the others, you're focused on one particular thing and impressed by a particular show of devotion. Does that make sense? So they're both perfect, but it's just this one is unique because that is the element that is happening in Goloka, because Gokula, because so many things are happening at once. But otherwise, the other places, it's a specific things happening and that's all. But this is, Krishna's there, and Krishna's there, like Rupa Goswami mentions, that Krishna comes onto the scene, and then the cowherd boys are seeing one thing, the cowherd girls, Mother Jashoda, the cows, all these rasas are all happening at once. Yes. Well, in these other realms, that's greatly reduced, where you don't really find that.
Yes. The example that people from Vaikuntha can appreciate could be like Bhishma, right? He was appreciated.
Yes, yes. But it's that specific, just, you know, or how Krishna is you know, driving his chariot. So it's like that's part of the whole thing. One will naturally have particular aspects that attract your attention, but the appreciation that all this is going on at once, that all these are happening, and how, you know, the cowherd boys are having such... The gopis, when they see the cowherd boys, it's not like, oh, that's you know, that's sakura.
Second class.
Yeah. You know. They're thinking, how fortunate is they can, in public... Yeah. You know, show their affection to Krishna. We can't. Mm. You know, so everybody's appreciating these elements.
I heard somewhere that there was someone that was describing a scene where Radharani and her friends are watching the boys take the cabs out for the day, and Radharani turns to her friend. She goes, "Okay, what did they do that they can spend the whole day with Krishna? What did they do? I'll do it."
Yeah. So like that, there's appreciation. So that's the thing in Braj. All these are happening at one time. You know, so it's like, because in Vaikuntha, it's like everyone comes, it's court. Everyone's there. You know, or the Lord's taking rest, then there's that whole thing. He's taking his bath, this whole thing. But here you're having the gopis coming and cooking for Krishna in Mother Jashoda's house. Now, rasas, conjugal rasa and parental rasas as entities, because you can't manifest conjugal and parental at the same time. Like parental and shakya, they're friends, because if you're the friend of the son or daughter, then you can naturally move with them. The whole scene's fine. Servants also work fine with... Servants are great with the parental ras, so that way they're neutral with the cowherd boys. Because servants represent authority, so you have to be a little careful. You can't be too crazy around servants. But it's supportive because the parental ras is favorable, therefore then the servitorship is favorable. But the servitorship is neutral with the conjugal. So like this, you have this whole dynamic that you don't have anywhere else. So that's the element of the swastikis. You have all these things happening at once. So that like we were discussing at the beginning of the class, it increases the intensity. Like that. So Braj is all about the because you're dealing with Swayam Krishna and Swayam, his internal potency. So therefore, it's the maximum expression. Because it's about the two of them. Braj means it's about Radha and Krishna. Then all these other things add to the flavors and everything to appreciate. Because if one thing is nice, you have to have variety to increase its niceness. You can't have... That means the Krishna... The girls are saying that they always want to be with Krishna, but how you increase the flavors by not being with him. Yes. Like that. So, therefore, everybody in Vrindavan is working on Parakiya Rasa. Because at some point, he's not with somebody. He's out with the cowherd boys and the cows, but then when he goes inside Nandagram, the cows can't go in, right? But then... The cowherd boys can. The gopis can go, but it's restricted. It's only when he goes out with the gopis, but then there's no cows and cowherd boys or Mother Yashoda. You know, so you have, everybody has their time. You know, and it's their time. When Krishna's at Nandabhavam, that's Mother Yashoda's time. So whoever else is there has to fit in with her. Like that. So it's... Yes? No? And yes.
Can we say that in Braj, Swarasiki mind is always present? There is a...
I would think so. It's not that somebody might not be focused on a particular thing, but what it's pointing out is that because you're bringing in all these different aspects of so many things happening, you're not just thinking of one specific thing.
So we can say that mantra mind sometimes happens? Like gopis speak about the flute, you know, whatever...
But it's more about the flute and, you know, where it's from and what he does, and then, you know, Krishna's interacting and that, like this. So there's a lot more happening at once. We'd have to see, does it give any more definition of these two?
Yeah, the mantra mayi is associated with more of the deity worship and other kind of ritualistic worship.
Okay. Whereas, the Swarasiki is more with spontaneous.
Yeah, spontaneous.
Okay. Basically. But they're compatible, but the point is here what he's describing is this, because this is his realization. But that's what's so nice about it. It wasn't that he was giving a parity on how to elevate yourself there. He's just describing what he realized. It means path before that is the process for getting that. Mm-hmm. Right? The first 29 or 28 verses. Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. So here. Okay. Okay. Now here, a single pastime within a second abode, which is realized through a type of meditation on Krishna, is described. This pastime is devoid of variegated activities and places where speaking is singing and walking is dancing. His is a realization of only one pastime taking place in a particular place. This is described in two verses. So, what is he referring to here? pass that within a second abode. What is the meaning?
That's verse 30 and 31.
Okay. Verse 30, Venum Konantam, describes the incomparable beauty of Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada describes the sound of Krishna's flute. The sound vibrated by his flute would give his friends such transcendental pleasure that they would forget all the talks of the Brahmananda, which is so praised by the impersonalists. Srimad Bhagavatam 3229 purport. Moreover, just as a dark blue rain cloud is a soothing sight for the eye, similarly Krishna's bluish complexion is a joy to behold. Moreover, if one could simply multiply a millionfold the attractive qualities present in Cupid, the resultant creation would still become madly infatuated upon seeing Sri Krishna's enchanting swarup. More than just a pretty picture, Srila Prabhupada indicates how this verse constitutes the basis for the entire human religious endeavor. Depiction to be ignored at our own peril. Interviewer: I think history shows that many people have misused religion. Isn't that a fact? Srila Prabhupada: These people have no conception of God, and they are preaching religion. How long can it go on artificially? It will deteriorate. We have a clear conception of God, Krishna. He is giving his order, and we accept it. That is clear religion. It is clear religion. If there is no God, no conception of God, no order of God, then where is religion? If there is no government, then where is the law? Interviewer: Well, there wouldn't be any law. It would be an outlaw society. Notice how he's completely changed it here. Mm-hmm. Probably, I mean, how the interviewer opened it is, I think history shows that many people have misused religion. Isn't that a fact? He's trying to, you know, it's a standard kind of approach and throwing out something and trying to prod. But then after Prabhupada says, yes, they have no conception of God, and so then they're preaching. So this is the problem. So God says this is what is there. Therefore, and then the facts. There's no government. Where's the law? Interview: Well, there wouldn't be any law. It would be an outlaw. So he's already now not just going along with what Prabhupada's saying. You always see is that when these, you know, very serious people come in with these kind of aggressive tactics, after one or two exchanges, then they're just going along with what Prabhupada says. It's so perfect with it. It's just he just takes whatever they're saying and in that context speaks philosophy. You know, it's not like no, it's not that, you know, because he's throwing this out because we're religionists. So then he would be saying, you know, so isn't that, you know, and then you know, trying to put us on the defensive. But here's no, yeah, right.
Actually, we agree with everybody. We just put it in the right context.
Yeah, it means basically most anything that is said, if it has some, you know, value to it, it is in line with the philosophy. Just they don't know how it's in line with it. They don't know why. Why is religion misused? Because they don't know God.
They think because religion's bad.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So here's no, it's because people don't know God. You know God, then it works nicely. You don't know God, then.
Yeah. Marsh has had a few good comebacks. One kid at some point goes, "There are no absolutes." And Marsh goes, "Is that right?"
Yeah. No, he's the, I think he's the best at the comeback. Him and Jai Dwaita Maharaj.
Satchitananda Swami went to the museum in L.A. So they asked him at the end, what do you like the most, Swami? And he liked the Brahman that sees with equal vision. And then he adds to that, he goes, after all, God spelled backwards is dog. And then Vidyananda Maharaj said, yes, but we're not interested in some backwards conception of God yet.
Yeah.
So so you got him.
Yeah, yeah. No. He's, when it comes to this, he's good. He's the best. Especially the, you know, college students. They're always the most, you know, snarky. You know, so he's really good at that.
Atmatat is good also.
But of course.
Question and answer booth.
Yeah, okay. You can deal with anything. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, outlaw. Everyone is an outlaw. manufacturing his own concocted system of religion. That is going on. Just ask, in any religious system, what is their conception of God? Can anyone tell clearly? No one can tell. But we shall immediately say, Venum kvanantam aravinda dalaya taksham. If there's no idea of God, then what kind of religion is that? Interviewer, I don't know. And he just took and said, there wouldn't be any law, it would be an outlaw society, and then Prabhupada took outlaw.
Yeah.
You know, dealt with that, and so now it's explained. Srila Prabhupada, it is bogus. People have no conception of God, and therefore they have no understanding of religion. That is the decline. See, now here is he's talking in the line of what the person threw out.
Yes.
And the person's now one would take that this is very strong. You know, no, this is just speaking in the line of what the person has brought up and in the flavor that the person has brought up. And you see the person's agreeing. That is the decline, and because religion is declining, the human beings are becoming more and more like animals. Animal means that one has no memory. A dog comes when there are some edibles. I say, hut, and he goes away. But again he comes. He has no memory. Interesting way to define.
Definition of a jerk.
He has no memory.
He repeats the same thing again and again.
Oh, okay. So when our memory of God is reducing, that means our human societies, human qualities are reducing. In the Kali Yuga, these human qualities will be reduced. That means that people are becoming like cats and dogs. Science of self-realization. Human society or animal society. Text 31. Alola chandra kalasad banamal yavamsi ratnangadam pranayakeli kalavilasam. Shyamam tribanga lalitam niyataprakasham govindamari purusham tamaham gajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers, beautified with the moon locket. 20. Chandrika can also mean the eye of the peacock feather. Thus Govinda would have a shining garland and a swinging peacock feather. Chandra can also refer to a type of jasmine. In such case, Govinda would have a shining garland of jasmine swaying in the breeze.
Replacing moon locket.
Yeah. Like that. So generally we don't hear peacock feathers being in garlands, but we do hear jasmines. Because white flowers are especially, Vishnu especially likes white flowers. Because the white flowers always have smell. Generally always, they're the ones that have the most intense smell. Whose two hands are adorned with a flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyamasundara is eternally manifest. This verse describes the quality of Govinda's loving interactions with his devotees. Jiva Goswami emphasizes that Krishna is the crest jewel of experts in the art of laughing, laughter and joking, and that is that his pastime is to revel in that skillfulness. Govinda performs pastimes which are artful, kala, full of playfulness, keli, and affection, pranaya. Amar Kosh says, drava keli pari hasa. Keli means sporting or joking. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also comments on this verse. In this shloka, the amorous pastimes of Govinda, the embodiment of his 64 excellences, have been described. All the spiritual affairs that come within the scope of description in the narration of the ecstatic mellow quality rasa are included in the spiritual amorous sports of Govinda. Yes, yeah, so then whatever all the aspects of rasa that go along with this, then they are all included when these things are described. Because you mentioned Kali, it means all these things. So you don't have to get into details here because he's already mentioned that. So that means laughing, joking, you know, that very pleasant kind of environment. Text 32 to 35. Krishna's unrivaled power. Brahma has so far mentioned Krishna's four unique personal characteristics. Wholly absent in his subsequent manifestations, Narayan, Shiva, and the Purusha avatars, not to speak of the jivas. Now Brahma explains the influence of Sri Krishna's inconceivable potency and divulges his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the omnipotent, omniscient source of all creation. Not only Govinda's form partakes of this transcendental nature, but also Krishna's abode and pastime Lila. The spiritual world will be shown to be the substance, the original root principle, and the material world its insubstantial shadow. Text 32. Angani yasi sakalendriya vriti manti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jananti ananda chinmaya sarujvala vigrahasya govinda mahari purusham tavaham vajami. The invisibility of Krishna's body. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, whose individual limbs, possessing the functions of all the senses, are forever creating by seeing, maintaining and annihilating the worlds, because those attractive limbs are made of eternity, knowledge, bliss. So now he's connecting back. Is that we've gone up. Now he's connecting back, getting there, is that this person, it's all of his attributes and what's creating everything else. So his wonderfulness, his sweetness, his attractiveness, His power, that's what is actually the cause of everything else. It's just as you go down, there's less and less of it.
Excuse me, Maharaj. So, recently I went to Chennai and I visited the Partha Sarati temple.
Yes.
And I saw Krishna deity with mustache. So it's some special rasa, right?
Yes, it's a special rasa, yes. It's the only deity of Vishnu in the world that has a mustache. And nobody seems to worry about it.
It's Kshatriya.
Yeah. You're looking for something more.
I mean, like in Bhagavad Gita, you know, we never see Krishna's mustache.
Because he's not in Madras.
Actually, we heard of going to Taiji's Manipur temple with Vrindavadri, and they look Manipuri.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes the deities reflect the devotion of the devotees.
So the beauty that they were. So it's just somehow or another it's unique to that temple. They have some reason for it. There's some pastime. But it's only in that temple. So next time you're in Madras, you go there and ask one of the pujaris there and they can tell you. I'm sure you could ask Bhanumar, she can tell you. It's just been a long time. This verse describes the quality of Govinda's loving interaction with his devotees. Jiva Goswami emphasized that Krishna is the crest jewel of experts in the art of laughter and joking. Oh, we already did that. I was thinking. So that means we're talking something else. Okay. But the whole point is that his interaction with the devotees is so wonderful, it's so special, like that. And because devotees are comfortable to see him this way, then he can deal in this way. Those who need more formality, then he doesn't deal in this way. Of course, there'll be some joking and all that, but it won't be so comfortable as this. So therefore, in Vaikuntha, you don't see this. You only see this in Braj. In this verse, beginning on Gani Yasya, any doubts concerning Krishna's being an ordinary cowherd boy are addressed. Having described two types of pastimes, in this verse, Brahma speaks of the excellent powers produced by Govinda's most inconceivable energy. Four verses describe this. In these verses, the powers of his form are described. His hand can see and his eye can protect. And similarly, other limbs have the power to accomplish the actions of the of other limbs. Thus it is said, Sarvata Pani Padam Tat Sarvato Kshi Kshiro Mukham. Everywhere are his hands and feet, and everywhere is eyes, head, and mouth. Svetasvatara Upanishad 3.16 and Bhagavad Gita 3.14. The verse describes how he can use his limbs interchangeably in seeing, creating, protecting, and creating universes. However, he can also use his limbs spontaneously in the multitude of his pastimes. The cause of this particular quality of his form is explained. His form is filled with bliss and knowledge. Dikdarshanitika 5.32. So this element of he can do anything, you know, all these things, that gives rise for that sweetness in the pastimes there. You know, the majesty in Vaikuntha, and then the universal form and aspects here. So you get all the variety. The interchangeability and equivalence of Krishna's various limbs have some interesting and wonderful implications. Firstly, it is another reason that mundane sex life bears no resemblance to the Lord's transcendental procreative pastimes. Srila Prabhupada states, we should not understand the process of impregnation by the personality of Godhead in terms of our conception of sex. The omnipotent Lord can impregnate just by his eyes, and therefore he is called all-potent. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.26, purport. Moreover, no part of Krishna's body is superior to any other part. Thus, the two lotus feet of the personality of Godhead are a planetary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And worshipping the Lord's lotus feet immediately places the worshipper in the ocean of transcendental bliss. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.34, purport. This capacity also accords the Lord considerable power of surveillance over his creation. This verse indicates not only that the Lord can perform any bodily function with any of his limbs, but also that he can see through the eyes of his Vishnu expansions, or indeed through the eyes of any living entity, and similarly that he can hear through the ears of any Vishnu or any Jiva expansion. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.2 purport. Right? So, because as we said, it's because he desires to see, therefore there is seeing and things to see. Right, this whole thing comes into play. So that is what's used for what everybody's using that. So because he sees everything, therefore, if we want to see something, we can see it. But Krishna's seeing everything; we're just seeing that one thing. Mm-hmm.
So there is a message.
So it's his potency, actually; it's not ours. So you can say as well, you know, we'll get things that he has to be around or this or that. No, he's already. It's his. He who's seeing. We're not the ones seeing, actually. We're taking part in seeing. So that's where Bhaktisiddhanta makes the point. We're seen, not seers. Yes.
In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives Arjuna divine eyes.
Yes.
But he also gave Dhritarashtra, when he manifested that partial universal form,
yes.
And Dhritarashtra was hearing the prayers of Bhishma and Drona, and he's going, I want to see this. Mm-hmm. Please, you know, he knew at that moment. He knew Krishna could remove his blindness if he wanted to.
Yeah.
I just want you to remove my blindness for this one moment. I want to see what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I can show you this without removing your blindness." So he showed it to him without even removing his blindness.
Because you're not seeing. It's not the eyes that are seeing.
Right.
Because his point is the eyes see something, but what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole thing. It's how you interpret in the mind. So it's it can be Krishna can be appreciated without the senses.
So Krishna, he can since he can see through anyone, he can adjust our seeing also. Yeah.
Means it's what you're seeing. It's not. It means. The power of your eyes to see generally will always remain within that capacity. But what you take is important, so therefore what you actually see.
What you perceive,
that's the change.
Because
right. That's what we're trying to do, is change our perception that we see through Shastra, rather than just according to our condition.
Right.
That's the whole.
Is it that... the gross elements by applying the senses, you can extract rasa from them, and that makes them
negligible. Can you extract rasa from the senses? It means what are you in touch with? If you're seeing something, right? So you're dealing with the elements that are Krishna. And there's a process going on that there's, you know, the masculine and feminine interaction based on the Brahman platform. So when the sense touches the sense object, you're in touch with that quality,
yes,
of the Brahman, and then the forms and activities that manifest it. So as long as the sense touches the sense object, you're in touch with Krishna,
yes,
on that platform. So therefore you're getting a taste. As soon as you disconnect the sense from the sense object, immediately it stops. It's not like the mind where there may be interaction and that was fun and you walk off and you're still enjoying the laughter. You know, or 20 years later you can think, yeah, we used to have good fun. Like that. So that's the thing. The sense is only in touch at that point. So then you're taking part in that. Like that. So the consciousness of the jiva then gets focused on that. Therefore they appreciate it. Does that make sense? But that's why it's considered, in one sense, the lowest, because it's the shortest of all the. Means it will only last as long as you're touching the sense object. The mind, that taste can last a lifetime, but not into the next lifetime. But spiritual is eternal. So that's why it's considered the superior rasa.
Can we put this in context with the panchakosha?
The panchakosha, yes. It means anamoya will be the partiva rasa. Your svargiya will be manamoya, because that's religious duties. And then ananda moya, that will be the vaikuntha rasa.
And vijnanamoya.
So vijnana is in between. It's got the spiritual aspect and it's got the duties, but it's not. Actually, that's why it's not really a strong position. It's a weak position. And the same with artha. As far as rasa goes, it's a weak position. How much rasa comes out of economic development?
No.
Means you get something from the action, but how much does it itself is very limited. Right? So that's why you see is that on that platform, you know what I'm saying? The business community interacting, they're very shallow.
And they tend
What I'm saying? When we talk about shallowness, we're talking about there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the Tsar of Russia holds a ball. It's not shallow.
Mm. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, the guys down at the pub and that, it's not so shallow. But when all the professionals get together and have the little party and the little this and that, it's shallow. Because it's neither really touching Dharma, that they're here and doing the thing and their position, their relationship, or neither can they go for it with the senses. You know, and this is what's being professed. It's like, you know, it's perfection. It's like they don't even understand rasa. You know, it's really...
Yeah.
So it's like the three seats of it are there, but you have always the junction.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's always... And despite the fact that all his limbs are functionally equivalent, Krishna restrains himself from indulging in the myriad creative possibilities this presents and acts somewhat normal around his friends.
Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur points out that although the Lord can't perform any function with any one of his senses in the transcendental pastimes as Sri Krishna, he generally sees with his eyes, touches with his hands, hears with his ears, and so on. Thus he behaves like the most beautiful and charming young cowherd boy. You know, because that's the thing, you could do all this, but you don't. Just that's the point. The cup of riksha, you can get anything, but you just get some fruit and flowers. You know, so that's the chintamani can produce unlimited wealth, but you don't do that.
As we just discussed, it's weak on rasa.
Yeah. Krishna's even conceivable potency may pose a challenge to certain naysayers. For this reason, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses this verse as an opportunity to delineate between the realms of matter and spirit. between God and Jiva, a source of confusion to the Mayavadi and materialist alike. Quote, for want of a taste of things spiritual, a grave doubt arises in the minds of those who are enchanted by worldly knowledge. Enchained by worldly knowledge. I was going to say enchanted. It makes it look bad. Enchained is worse. Okay, yeah. On hearing a narration of the pastimes of Krishna, they think that the truth, tattva, regarding Krishna, is the mental concoction of certain learned scholars, created by their imaginative brains out of material drawn from the mundane principles. Because that's what they do. Right? If they're using it as a criticism, but the point is, why would they criticize unless that's what they do? If you didn't do that, why would you think that's a...
Yes.
Or if you had some alternative. Because that's exactly what they do. It's just that they want to leave it at that. But when you say this is absolute, then it gets a thing. Because then, why is it his mental concoctions are absolute and mine aren't? Yeah. You know. So then it's... Yeah. With the object of removing this harmful doubt, Brahma, in this and the three following shlokas, after distinguishing between the two things, namely spirit and matter, in a rational manner has tried to make one understand the pure lila of Krishna, obtained by his unmixed ecstatic trance. Brahma wants to say that the forms of Krishna is all existence, all knowledge, and all bliss, whereas all mundane experiences are full of palpable ignorance. The unwholesomeness of matter is its defect, but in the spirit there is variegatedness, which is free from any fault or contamination. The soul and the body of Krishna are identical. Unwholesomeness means it's unwholesome. It doesn't deal with the whole. It doesn't deal with Krishna. That's why it's unwholesome. Right? It's only partial. The soul and the body of Krishna are identical, whereas the body and soul of fallen creatures are not so. In the spiritual sphere, there is no such differences as that between the body and the soul, between the limbs and the proprietor, between the attributes and the object possessing them, of this world. But such difference really exists in the case of conditioned souls. Limbed though Krishna is, his every limb is the whole entity. He performs all varieties of divine spiritual functions with every one of his limbs. Hence he is an invisible whole and a perfect transcendental entity. Brahma Samhita Purport 5:32. Yes? Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha vedesha durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, who has no equal, who is infallible in protecting his devotees, who is the source of all others but expands into infinite forms, who is topmost, who exists before all others but is eternally youthful, and who is rarely obtained by those studying the Vedas, but obtained easily by his devotee. This verse is a prime illustration of the philosophy of Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. The Lord expands unlimitedly, yet is complete. He is old, yet he is young. To attain him is difficult, yet easy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains. The sum and substance of it is that though he possesses diverse and apparently mutual contradictory qualities, still, interesting, mutually contradictory, not that one is contradictory to the other, they both are contradictory of each other, right? Still, they are in universal harmonious concordance by dint of his unthinkable potency. That is what is meant by chiddham, dharma, transcendental nature, as distinguished from the material. In the transcendental sphere, there is no distinction between the object and its qualities, and no such identity as is found in the limited mundane region. So here means your object and its qualities are always different, because but the Lord and his energies are non-different. So therefore, they'll be the same. But you can still tell where his hand is and where his foot is. Hence, those qualities that seem to be apparently contradictory in the light of mundane conception, limited by time and space, exist in agreeable and dainty concordance in the spiritual realm. Because you're dealing with the feminine, so you have to have the dainty aspects and be agreeable. Right? Not agreeable, you're in trouble.
Well, I might say at the bottom of the previous page, this verse, by illustration of Pachicha Veda Veda Katra. Should that be more in the sense of by illustration of the Lord Pachicha Shakti rather than Pachicha Veda Veda Katra?
It is. It means, well, you have both. Because that's the point. Achintya Abheda Veda Katra, or Veda Abheda, is that it's the Achintya Shakti that holds these opposing principles together. So it's the whole thing is that he has these opposing elements, and that's him. But they're perfectly harmoniously, how do you say, combined here, the concordance, harmonious concordance, because of his Achintya Shakti. Like that, you know, so that's what he said here. Unthinkable potency, because Achintya means to think, so Achintya means you can't think of it. So it's but it's more about the it is more about the that he has all these, but then the point is they're held together by his shaktis. So he and his shaktis are not different. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai
Shri Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur.
Ask you, you mentioned that why the jivas coming from the Krishna's.
Where is that? A few questions I've come across it quite a few times.
The thing is, I'm planning on this. I was reading this for the last upcoming publication. They say that it's going to be one
The thing is what's the point of bringing this up? You know what I'm saying?
For discussion.
No, because the point is I'm not going to go head to head with Gorgorini Maharaj and sit here and sit back and one, you know, appreciate it and two at the same time. Okay, yeah. The point is we don't fall from the spiritual planet there in the tri quadrantal, but from the uniquadrantal, the manifestation of the spiritual world here, that's what we fall from. But the point is we're there in that capacity on the Brahman platform. Because neutral means Brahman. Love means that's Bhagavan. So that's why we're devotees in practice. So actually you're only technically a devotee when you come to prema. Before that you're practicing. You understand? So that's the thing, you're having to balance the material world, the spiritual world, and the Brahman all at once. So that's generally a position that most can't accommodate. So that's why it's not a discussion.
And he brings up from Jiva Goswami also that he mentioned that in the Sandarbhas that there is something called Prapanchika Vaikuntha. But from there you can.
It's there, but the point is
what is that Prapanchika?
That I don't know. You have to see how Jiva Goswami describes
it. You know, Sadhu Prabhupada? He was associated a lot with this.
Yeah.
With this Kapoor. And he brought up this point that.
Yeah, yeah. But that means if you want, you go ahead and discuss with him. I already did that for years. We finally came to an understanding.
But it is good.
3 years. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I'm not willing to discuss this on an academic level.
Yeah.
Because the point is academically, it is impossible to understand. Just like I cannot explain the feelings of conjugal rasa to an 8-year-old. It is impossible. But to a teenager, yes.
That's what I've been looking for.
So that's the whole point. It's not something by intellect that you can understand, because you have to be able to. Most can't accommodate that Gokul here and Gokul there are the same, so therefore here is the spiritual world. They'll always say, no, it has to be there. No one in this conversation is talking about here. They're all saying, you can't fall from there, and we had to have fallen from there. So neither party even knows where to start. So what's wrong with the money? Correct. But the point is it's not a topic for discussion. It's not an intellectual thing that scholars can sit down and they'll understand. They're generally the last ones that can understand. Sorry to say it. But unless you can accommodate how all these things happen simultaneously, and that you have the jiva, which means the tatastha position, is the Brahman position, it's the Brahman platform. But at the same time, as you have a choice whether to work on the yoga maya or mahamaya. So you can be dealing with spiritual energy, but see it and not connected to Krishna. So you're looking at the other side. That's, you're looking at the material world, even though you're situated technically, physically in the spiritual world. So how does Brahman, the spiritual world, the material world, all happen at one place? That's called the Tathasta Shakti. No one discusses that. So unless you can accommodate all those together, then it's impossible to understand what's going on.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand why Prabhupada was making this point that we're aware of it.
No, his point is don't discuss it. We're the ones that keep coming up with it. What about that? Don't discuss it. You go to the Shris, they don't discuss it. Why? Because their Acharya said don't. You go to the Madhvas, they don't discuss it. Why? Because their Acharya said don't discuss it. We write books on it. We discuss it. We make it our platforms on whether we're going to be involved in the mission or not. What's the point? The Prabhupada said, yes, we fall from the spiritual world, but what does that mean? He's talking about here. Gokul. But we say, no, spiritual has to mean that. That's the problem. It's our interpretation what causes the fight. Our Kanista understanding is what causes the fight. Why? Because we're dealing with time and space, which is neophyte. So that's why it's not to be discussed.